An explanation problem is really just about communication. And it's not about sales communication. It's not about selling better. It's about focusing on one thing. And that one thing is understanding.
Branding, experience, conversation, promotion. Powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Aaron hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power, power to the small business.
And hey, you found it. This is the show that turns entrepreneurs into marketers and transforms ordinary businesses into extraordinary brands. Hi, my name is Jay Arrett. I am Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com. And a little squeaky voice this week. Get back to Texas and the allergies hit me. Did you recognize that voice you heard during the show open? Of course, if you read the episode description before listening, you know who it is. It's Lee LaFever, founder of Common Craft and author of The Art of Explanation. He is the guest on our feature segment today. Well, I'm back from my business slash pleasure trip to Belgium with very little help from Delta Airlines, and I will spare you the airline horror story because I know we all have one, and I now have two. I bet an airline horror story podcast would be a popular one. But every time I'm tempted to tell my airline horror story, I'm reminded of the Louis C.K. YouTube video. You've probably seen it, the one that's titled Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy, and I keep thinking of Louis saying, "You're sitting in a chair in the sky." So I will spare you the gory details. But Belgium is wonderful and truly is the beer capital of the world. We have a wonderful craft beer scene here in the United States. It's one of my little, I guess you could say, hobby is craft beer. And I have an excellent craft beer pub here in my hometown of Waco. But beer is an art form and a passion in Belgium. And I was thoroughly introduced to it by my host, Wilfried, in Belgium. And the first night we got there, I had a beer tasting of epic proportions at his house. It was wonderful. In Belgium, though, traffic, surprisingly, is a drawback. Everywhere there are traffic jams. Too many people, too many cars, not enough roads, even in the smaller towns. So it was quite a little bit of a shock, especially here in Texas, where only in the big cities do we have traffic jams. And they handle kids. That was another big thing that struck me in Belgium is the way they raise their kids is a little bit different in that kids can drink alcohol when they're 16 years old. Hello, it's Belgium with beer, right? So kids can drink alcohol at 16 years old, but they cannot drive until they're 18. So all the kids ride their bikes to school. And when school gets out in the afternoon, you see all these groups of kids riding their bikes home from school. And it reminded me of when I was a kid. And I used to ride my bike a lot. Now you hardly ever see kids riding bikes anymore. And it's usually like just in the driveway or something like that. But it's truly is a different culture over there. And I have to say, I think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing all the kids riding bikes rather than driving cars all over the place. And of course, that would just cram up the roads even more over there. But thanks to my wonderful host and soon-to-be partner, Wilfried Jamers, we are putting the final touches on the marketing spot worldwide, which you will hear more about in the future, I'm sure. Yep, we're taking these marketing spots and the principles attached to them abroad, starting in Europe. Well, back to the business at hand and helping you build a better brand through building a marketing plan. And when I work with clients, as we start building their marketing plan, we always start with a brand. You've heard me say many times, your marketing plan always starts with and flows from your brand. And so we begin with a branding work as we start with the marketing plan. And clients, the entrepreneurs who own the business, they have a hard time explaining your business. And that's very important to the branding process. You have to have a clear picture in your mind what your business, what your brand is. And a lot of times it's very difficult for the entrepreneur to explain your business. So see if you do this. You start with your industry or you use a product description. For example, I'm a marketing consultant and I help businesses build marketing plans. Or you describe your service, something like that. But that's not your brand. Your product, your service, what you do is the meeting place between you and the customer. And there are lots of these meeting places everywhere. So tell me about your business. Well, I'm a website designer. Oh, really? I just walked by a tree, shook it, and two website designers fell out of the tree. So this is a big problem for small business brands. We don't know how to sell ourselves. We're so focused on selling product that we don't tell people the why behind our business. And I'm not talking about the save money, better quality why. I'm talking about the why our business exists. You need a better explanation, and that's what this episode is all about, helping people understand your brand so that they will care about it and become emotionally connected to it. Because as you've heard many times on this show, purchase decisions are made emotionally. They're justified logically, but decisions are made emotionally. In fact, I did a whole show on this. It's episode number 70, and I'll put a link to that show. It's Consumerology. With Philip Graves. I'll put a link to episode number 70 in the show notes, which will cover more in depth the emotionally based decisions, purchase decisions. So our featured segment today will help you better explain your business so that customers will understand you. And our episode today is brought to you by my brand new virtual workshop, Create a Custom Marketing Plan to Transform Your Business. It's a 9-week, gently paced, complete online workshop to help you build your marketing plan, and it starts April 3rd. Now, depending on when you are listening to this episode, tuition may be $175, but it's shortly going up to $279. However, you, the podcast listener, can get it for just $97 if you use the discount code 97 when you check out. Those are the numbers, 97, that's all. So go to themarketingspot.com/plan and get this really $3,000 value for just $97. That's right. My clients would pay $3,000 to have me help them build a marketing plan. For more details and the opportunity to enroll today, go to themarketingspot.com/plan. Okay, time for our feature segment, how to better explain your brand. Let's see if we can move you one step closer to transforming your business into an extraordinary brand. And now we welcome Lee Lefever. He is founder of Common Craft and author of The Art of Explanation. And since 2007, Common Craft has won numerous awards, created the explanations for the world's most respected brands, and earned over 50 million online video views. Wow. Well, today, Common Craft's mission is to make the world a more understandable place by inspiring professionals to become better explainers. And now we welcome to the big show, maybe one of the most famous voices on the internet, Lee Lefever. Welcome, Lee.
Wow. thanks for having me here, Jay. I've never, I'm not sure anybody's ever given me that sort of intro before, but I appreciate it.
Well, do you ever get from people who don't know you or when you meet them and say, hey, your voice sounds familiar? You know, do you get recognized by your voice?
Once people know, like when people call the office line, sometimes I'll answer and they'll say, wow, it's really you. I recognize your voice. Or I know at conferences, people will sometimes, if they know it's me, then they'll be listening for it anyway. But they always do mention, oh yeah, I would know that voice anywhere kind of thing.
So, wow, over 50 million online video views. For people listening who maybe are not familiar with some of them, give us, can you run through a couple of your more famous or some of your most famous videos?
Yeah. The first couple of videos were sort of our biggest viral hits, and that was in 2007. They were RSS in plain English and wikis in plain English. All the Common Craft videos use a format of paper cutouts and a whiteboard, and you see my hands moving pieces of paper around. But most of those views that are the 50 million came from another video that was called Twitter in Plain English, which was actually linked off of the Twitter.com homepage for over a year in 2008. And another big chunk came from a video we worked with Dropbox to make, which was on the Dropbox homepage for 3 years.
Wow. And that Dropbox video, that happened early in the Dropbox business, didn't it? Wasn't it sort of towards the beginning?
Yeah, it was. It was when they had, 1.5 or 2 million users at the time.
Yeah, the 1.5 or 2 million. We think that's...
Yeah, that's all.
That's it.
Now it's like 250 million or something like that, probably more.
Wow. So many businesses, I think, Lee, they struggle with achieving the success they think they should. And there's this constant search for the answer, that will help make people want to buy from that business, and become their customers. How much of that problem do you think can be attributed to an explanation problem?
That's a good question. It always depends. Every business is different, but I do think that a lot of companies and businesses do suffer from what I call an explanation problem. And to be more clear about that, I think it's a problem where that businesses are not used to addressing. They're used to thinking about financial problems, design problems, engineering problems, management problems. Those are the normal kinds of things that most businesses deal with. But an explanation problem is really just about communication, and it's not about sales communication. It's not about selling better. It's about focusing on one thing, and that one thing is understanding, like making sure that people actually understand what you're trying to do. And I think that it's really hard because a lot of businesses work so deeply in what they do, they lose touch with what it's like to hear about their product for the first time. And to me, that's where an explanation needs to happen, is when that first introduction needs to be something that focuses on understanding more than selling, I think, in a lot of cases.
Wow, that is so powerful, because you're right. We focus on, like, how do we get people to give us their money? You know, we've come up with the magic sales pitch and people will give us their money, but that's rarely successful. And as you just said, it's really about understanding, because understanding, as you said, just gives you confidence to be able to buy from someone.
Yeah, you know, something we say quite a bit is that, you know, people are less likely to buy what they don't understand. And that unless you can get somebody to understand it, it's going to be hard selling anything. And that's where I see, you know, explanation helping.
So you have helped numerous brands, and you're helping individuals and other companies through your Common Craft website today. Why do you think it is that we get so stuck on the product, the attributes of the product, the price of the product, and features and benefits, rather than the big picture? Why is that, do you think?
You know, I think part of it is it's what we work on. It's what we're focused on every day. It's the thing that looms largest to us. And if people can just get this feature is really going to make a big splash. And it's easy to, like I said before, sort of lose touch with what the reality is in terms of what people already know or understand. You know, there's an idea that it's in my book, but I first heard about it from Chip and Dan Heath in their book Made to Stick, called The Curse of Knowledge. And the idea is that the more that you know about something, the harder it is to imagine what it's like not to know. And it causes you to make assumptions that are sometimes incorrect about the audience that you're trying to talk to. Your knowledge sort of curses you, and you sort of lose that ability to empathize a little bit. And I think that's what happens sometimes, is we assume that the features are going to do it, and that they're self-explanatory, that, oh, everybody gets this. But I don't think it's always the case.
Yeah, we get caught up in that. And you go through this in your book, The Art of Explanation, and you talk about the curse of knowledge and how to get around it. Maybe if you can relate to our listeners a little bit, how do you get around the curse of knowledge?
Well, I think there's a few ways to look at it. The problem that the curse causes, it can be summed up in sort of this idea of empathy, that you are not able to imagine what it's like in someone else's shoes. And that's sort of what empathy is. And I think that there's an opportunity to kind of step back and try to not think about things from your perspective or your manager's perspective or the designer's perspective, and try to approach something from the audience's perspective and build sort of a persona in your mind of who that audience is and what these words and these examples are going to sound like to them. I think empathizing with the audience is a really big part of that. I think that a really big idea, and this is probably one of the biggest things that I try to communicate in general, is that, you know, it's actually possible to become a better explainer. it is possible to just take a step back and think about, how do I actually explain ideas? I don't think most people ever think about the potential to actually be more understandable by honing this skill of explanation. And I think that's something that can help get over the curse, is seeing that you have maybe some things built into the way you communicate that keep you from being as clear as you want to be, and that those things can actually be improved.
Do you think people think that they're better explainers than they actually are? Do people normally think, hey, I know how to explain my business pretty well?
I can't speak for everyone. I think there's probably a mix. There are some people who are not great, who don't think they're great explainers, who I imagine are. But I think we all generally probably think we're better than we are. You know, few plans survive the battlefield, right? And so I think we all are. I mean, I'm always improving. I think everybody is always improving a little bit. But it is something that's pretty common, is to think that, you know, we all think we're better than probably we are in a lot of things.
So let's get back to the explanation a little bit. So we're talking to small business owners out there, a lot of them, and you started off as a small business owner. When you started your business, you relay that a little bit in the book. I'll get back to that in a little bit. But what do you think it is that people need to explain about their business? I have this business. I'm trying to be successful. And here's Lee LaFever says, hey, create an explanation for your business. What is it we need to explain?
That's a good question. You know, the first thing that came to my mind is there's a great TED Talk, and he has a book too. It's Simon Sinek, who does talk about this question of why. And in the TED Talk, and I've skimmed his book, but I haven't read it. But he says over and over in his talks that people don't care about what you do; they care about why you do it. And that really resonates with me because it hits this sort of why question that I think is really important in explanations as well. That any product or service has got the details, it's got the features, right? And it's sort of easy to be able to share that. But to take a step back and really think about why this product exists, like why anyone would care about it in the first place, I think really matters. And that's what can help people develop this sense of why should I care about this? And the sort of rule of thumb that we have is that if you can make someone care about something, they'll actually be motivated to figure out the details and the features. The hump is not getting them to look at the features. The hump is getting them to look to feel connected to it in some way. And I think you do that partially by building context. I think that's one of the most powerful things about explanation is to talk about the product and the bigger idea of where this product lives in the world and who uses it and why do they use it? Why do they care about it? And then develop a sense of like how those features fit into that world rather than just going right into the details.
That's so convicting because we really do have it opposite when we try to explain our businesses. It's like we forget that people need a reason to buy for us and they think that all they're buying is the product or the service from us. When really we can find those things anywhere and they're really buying something more. People are searching for something more.
I think so. There's a lot of ways to look at that. If you look at some of the advertising that Apple does, it's really not about the features. It's about this feeling. And it's, you know, I would hesitate to say that they're not necessarily explaining their products, but I think it's an example of appealing to people on a level that's much different than features and sales copy. And I think some of that happens in explanation where you sort of build this world around the product that people can see themselves in.
So we have to have people understand the why about our brand or about our product. And how do we go about finding that? I mean, we are so caught up in our day-to-day activity. We've had this business, like for example, I've had mine for almost 12 years now. Sometimes people go years and years and it takes some digging, doesn't it, to get into the why?
It's true. It's true. Well, hopefully the leadership knows.
Oh, oops.
You know, I think it's a hard thing. I think businesses sometimes are a little bit easier to explain overall. A specific product might be a little bit harder because it might be for, you know, a much more narrow audience or for a narrow use case or persona or something like that. But it's a really good question. I'm not sure that I have a nice sort of way to encapsulate how to get to that why. I like to think that the people who work in the organization, who think about it a lot, and potentially the people who, like I said, are the leadership or founded it to do something other than just make money, which, you know, that's fine too. But, you know, I think a lot of successful businesses have more than one goal.
Right. We do lose sight of the fact that we didn't start this business. Hey, what can I do to make money? And let me try that and do that.
Sure.
So Common Craft, you guys, what is the why behind Common Craft?
Well, it's changed, I'd say, over the years. I started off being a consultant. And in 2003 is when I founded Common Craft. And at the time, I was really into, at the time, online communities and social software, what has become social media. Prior to founding Common Craft, I was an online community manager, huge fan of like the Clue Train Manifesto, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just became convinced that the whole world was going to be using some form of online community. So I started Common Craft to help people, and specifically my corporate clients, understand how the world was going to change when it came to online communities. I was really passionate about it, but what I found was that the things that were holding my clients back from feeling confident about wikis and blogs and social networking and RSS and things like that, wasn't price or design or engineering and things like that, like I mentioned before, but it was just understanding. They just didn't understand these issues at a really fundamental kind of level that would give them a way to make decisions with confidence about it. And that was when I really saw this opportunity to focus on explanation. And it wasn't long after that we started making videos. And the why became because there just weren't enough good explanations in the world, and we wanted there to be better explanations because we believe in the power of the web. You know, I think that things like RSS, wikis, and blogs, they change people's lives for almost no money. And yeah. If more people will adopt that, then it could have a positive impact. And I think that's one of the things we wanted to do, is help people feel confident about using technology.
Wow. And you know, if you were to start this business from scratch and say, well, how can I make money? Let me teach people how to explain things, you know, let me be explanation. You know, that's just a business. You can't just say, how am I going to make money on this? One that has to come from a passion. And sure. I think that's a good example of that. Let's say we understand our why behind the business, and now we're going to go about crafting our explanation. Mm-hmm. And you go into great detail about this in your book, The Art of Explanation. But what do you think is the one thing, or maybe the most important couple of things, the entrepreneur should know when they start crafting their explanation?
Well, I'll answer that in a couple of ways. Understanding that explanation has a role to play, and you can actually get better at it. And then once you have thought through an explanation, it can be a talking point, or it can be something that you use and bring out when you need to. You know, in the book, I talk about, you know, these stepping stones to explanations. And they're really just sort of elements that you can use, or tools you can use, to think about how you present your idea. Really briefly, they are to build context, tell stories, make connections, like use analogies and things like that, and then think about how you describe things. Those are just sort of labels now without going much deeper, but you know, stories, for example, I think that storytelling is really a really big deal right now in a lot of business settings, and people are sort of unsure about it. It has sort of this kumbaya kind of idea with it, but also storytelling is an art form that can be intimidating for the storyteller to do. And you know, a lot of our videos have stories, but they're really just the way I joke about it is most of our videos can be boiled down to meet Bob. He's like you. Bob's got a problem. He feels bad. Oh, Bob found a solution. He feels great. Don't you want to feel like Bob? And it's a pretty tried and true thing. We're obviously not the first to kind of look at it that way. But I think there's a lot of ways to approach presenting your product that maybe is different than what your, you know, salespeople would recommend, because it's not about selling. It's more about understanding. The other thing I would recommend too is, and maybe I should have mentioned this first, is there's real power in sitting down and writing out an explanation. If you're a leader or if you're an entrepreneur and you have a product or a company that you want to explain, sit down and pretend that you are writing a script for a video. Try telling a couple of stories, or try coming up with a couple of analogies. Even if nobody sees what you write, that act of writing about it and thinking through how to do it will just turn on so many things in your mind that you never thought about. So I really encourage people just to sit down and write. Grab a pen, get on your keyboard, whatever it is, and just start writing and see how it changes your perspective. Because it happens to me every time I write a script. By the time I'm through with it, I've gone through so many things about it that I never would have thought of.
Well, and as I was reading your book last week while I was on spring break, it motivated me to actually start writing a script for a new product I have coming out, a webinar series. And oh, nice. So I was cool. Here, I found myself, as I was reading the chapter, I thought, oh yeah, that's how I could say that, and that's how I could say, you know, it just spurred me on. So it's almost like you said stepping stones, and people could use this book, and here's a big free plug for you here, Lee. So you could use this book to, you don't know where to start, hey, buy Lee's book, sit down, and just take it chapter by chapter, and let him guide you through the explanation process. So yeah.
I appreciate that, Jay.
Yeah, and no money necessary. You don't have to send me anything. So. So I can hear some people saying, oh, yeah, that's easy for you, Mr. Lee Lefevre, Mr. 50 Million Views. But are there any special skills or special knowledge you need to be good at in order to start writing this stuff? Do you need the so-called skill of creativity or anything like that?
You know, I think it's less about creativity. I do think that some people... I think people who are naturally more empathetic take to explanation more quickly. And one of the ways I think about that is driving directions, right? You've had friends who are horrible at driving directions. And then you have friends who are good at driving directions. Maybe nobody needs them anymore because of Google Maps, but anybody that's over 20 years old has gotten good and bad directions at some point, probably. And I think that the things that make directions work is often what makes explanations work. And it's that ability to forget what you know and instead imagine what it's like to drive for the first
time. Yeah, and that goes back to the curse of knowledge, too. Do you find it helpful? Do you bring in any outside help? Well, usually when you produce a video for somebody, you are the outside help. But like explaining your own business, do you think you need a fresh set of eyes on the thing?
Yeah, I think so. When we did do custom work, we're not in the custom business these days. So we're not hired to make videos. Our focus is purely on our membership. But I think that it was a true value for us to these companies to be able to come from the outside. And we actually tried not to dive deeply as they wanted to go, because we wanted to try to maintain a sort of high-level view, almost like a new user would, to try to think about the explanation in that way. Most of the videos we do these days, we do have what we call technical advisors. So I might have someone I might ask a friend who's written a book. You know, we have a couple of friends. My friend Jay Feinberg, he just knows so much about so many things that I feel like it would be remiss if I didn't ask him for feedback on a script about technology. And that he's actually, you know, that he helps a lot with technology, for instance. But we certainly work with what we call technical advisors to review the scripts, review the storyboards, and make sure that we're right. Some things we do don't require that. Like one of our most popular videos for teachers is about plagiarism. And plagiarism is not a hard thing to understand. Our challenge there was doing it in a creative and effective way.
Let's talk a little bit about your style here, because you use what you call the plain English style, and that's how you used to do all your videos here, just Twitter in plain English. And the video format matches it with the cutouts and things. How much of a role does style play in these explanations and videos?
That's a good question. You know, we call it Common Craft Style, and we have a library of cutouts now that's sort of our part of what we offer, so people can make their own explanations. But you know, we sort of were for kind of early in the what people would say as a class, the whiteboard videos. You know, there's people that draw like pictures as someone speaking on the whiteboard. There's paper cutouts like ours, but I think the idea of a whiteboard with whatever it is on it works really well, because it cuts out a lot of noise. I think that it visually is what matters the most about any video, whether it's a whiteboard or not. But what I think we happened to hit on early on was, you know, in a lot of media presentations, if someone's using like software to do it, there's so many opportunities to have awesome effects and music and, you know, all these things, and a lot of it ends up being noise. But if you only use a whiteboard and paper cutouts, nothing appears in the scene that isn't there for a reason. And with our particular style, our characters don't have faces. You maybe see a smile every once in a while. And we do that intentionally, because we want the focus to be on the idea and not someone thinking if they're attracted to that person or what emotion that person's feeling or whatever. That just doesn't happen, because it's the format is so sort of
noiseless. In fact, on your website now, you have a service, or you're linked to a service, where people can actually create a Common Craft style video like right from the web, right? You don't have to have any video editing software or anything.
Yeah, that's right. We partnered with a company called Go Animate, and they have a tool that's probably the leader in their world, where you can log into their website, become a member of their website, and they give you all the tools to make an animated video using nothing but a web browser. So we partnered with them to offer Common Craft style cutouts within their world. So now if you're a GoAnimate user, you can upgrade your account to using Common Craft cutouts and make your own Common Craft style videos that way.
Who does the cutouts for your videos?
It's me. I end up doing most of the creative work. I don't know if you're aware, Common Craft is a two-person company, so it's either me or my wife doing everything.
Still today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, even still today. We've been focused on, we're both sort of business, we're known for our videos and the creative side, but deep down we're really business geeks. And I think Common Craft has always been an experiment in business models and what we could do as a two-person company. That's why we stopped doing custom work, was because it doesn't scale without building a whole studio. Now our membership does. It scales, and we can keep knocking out videos and cutouts. And as long as people keep signing up, then we have
a successful business. Those are your hands, right? Your hands, your voice, And where's your wife in this?
Yeah, she, well, you know, Sachi plays a huge role in Common Craft. She stays behind the scenes and she wants to be behind the scenes. But she's sort of our technical side. So she does all the video editing. Anything that goes on our website, she edits as well. I'm like creative and she's editor. So she's more business side and I'm more, again, more creative side. So she's like our business manager, editor. I really think that she's more of our CEO, actually. She makes a lot of executive decisions about the direction of the company.
Looking back at your journey, I mean, people can look at you and say, wow, he's a two-person company, and look at how popular Common Craft is, and you have this book. And so a lot of listeners to this podcast, they would say, wow, Lee LaFever, and here come your air quotes, has made it. And so if you look from your perspective, looking back at your journey as this entrepreneur with your wife, what do you think was the key to you, again, air quotes, making it?
Yeah, I would disabuse people of that notion. That, you know, I think that being a two-person company comes with costs. You know, it's not all unicorns and rainbows. Looking back and thinking about where Common Craft has been, I think that a lot of it comes down to luck. Quite honestly, I think we had a skill, and we've used that skill, I think, in a good way. But we happened to start working on these explainer videos right when YouTube was getting started. And what we did could not really have existed before that. There just wasn't a platform for sharing videos before then. And we were just happened to be one of the first at the time to do this stop motion animation, focus on explanation. And it just really struck a chord with people at that moment. And I don't think that if we had done it a year earlier or a couple of years later, it would have worked. So I chalk some of it up to luck. But I think we're both also really try to stay on the leading edge of what we're doing and always try to be thinking ahead about how the world's going to change. You know, we call it, you know, do we know which way the wind blows? we're wrong. We're not always right. But I think that focusing on that and, you know, aside from the success of being known, which I think we were very lucky to do, that is good, but I think that we have been really focused on trying to create value. You know, that's something that's really important to us, is to not just make videos that people think are cute, but to actually create a business that helps people, especially educators, solve a problem. And in exchange for solving that problem, they become a part of the Common Craft world, and we continue to produce value for them. I'm a really big believer that there's so many people on the web are so focused on making money that they forget to produce value. And I really want to be an example of putting value first and making sure that we're doing stuff that people actually need.
I think this is a good place to say, okay, what's going on in the future for Lee LaFever, and give us a little bit of information about your website and your business.
Yeah, sure. Our big thing lately, you know, we have a library of videos that are explanations that educators use to introduce subjects in classrooms and learning management systems and all kinds of places. But lately, our big thing is taking the images that appear in Common Craft videos and creating a whole library. We have close to 1,500 of them that anybody can use in their PowerPoint presentation or anything, anywhere visuals are needed, the cutouts can work. They're all consistent. So you could do a whole presentation just in that one style. So that's kind of our big thing, and we're gonna focus more on that.
And very affordable too. I took a look at your website, and I was surprised. I was like, "Wow, that's all he's charging. That's pretty good."
Yeah, it's not too bad. We work in education, and a lot of teachers are strapped for money for their work. So we
appreciate you being on the big show and imparting your knowledge on explanations.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Jay.
All the complete show notes and links will be on my blog at themarketingspot.com. I do have a podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com, but that will not be the home of the podcast, beginning with episode number 101, when we will be reformatting the podcast. Really, we're reformatting it in episode number 100, but that's kind of the bridge episode, as I guess it would be. So go to themarketingspot.com on the blog, and that's where you can subscribe to this show by email or in iTunes. And if you do find value in the show, I'm going to ask you a favor. Please leave me a rating or a quick review in iTunes. It would help other people find this podcast and help me become wildly famous and popular. Yes, right. Okay.
And if you want to transform your business into an extraordinary brand, you can do that with my online workshop, Create a Marketing Plan to Grow Your Business. It starts April 3rd. More details at themarketingspot.com/plan. Remember to use the discount code 9797. Those are the numbers, by the way, 97, to get this complete guided workshop for just $97. That's it for this episode. My name is Jay Arrett. I am Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com. And we'll be back next week to take another step in transforming your business into the brand you've always believed it could be. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.